Good evening, Patriots. You know, the world that we sit in right now, I keep rolling this through my head and asking myself, what would it have been today had men stood up as we needed them to 18 months ago? And I keep coming to the same conclusion, which is we wouldn't be where we are, and we would have put a check on the insanity that's going along. I keep asking myself, what has happened that men have willfully been part of this injection process, that they themselves have succumbed to it and still seem to have a fantasy about an outlying enemy that exists? What's the enemy? And the enemy ends up being the greatest enemy of all, the one that must be conquered above all. And that's ourself. And this doesn't just apply to men. Because within the course of life in the world that we live in right now, we are our greatest enemy. And there's many parts of that story. It's not just one. But we are our greatest enemy. And as part of that being greatest enemy, we fall into the traps that are set for us to define what manhood is like and what being a woman is like. Those are the traps that are always centered around a single purpose in life, a single concept in life, that everything is watered down to a value that's somehow translated to dollars, and that the man's role has now become that of producing an income and a couple's role is about producing more income. And women have flipped that around too, with now leading the household with income earning, and that now is defining our households. So when you look from that perspective and you look at this pandemic that's been sweeping across the world, fear starts to make more sense, because it's the fear of losing the wealth that's been accumulated on this earth, and which people are trying to preserve because they have the concept that they are the generators of wealth, not God. That's the trap. And when we get looped into that trap, it is truly an OODA loop of around and around and around. And all you have to do is just drop a little bit of fear and then step back. Drop a little bit of fear and step back. I got a report today from somebody who was down in Las Vegas. And as the story goes, they said they've been to Las Vegas a lot. They went to a number of casinos. They have never seen anything like this right now. And of course, I'm thinking, and then the added thing is these people are out of their mind. And of course, I'm jumping to the conclusion before I'm hearing the whole story that, oh boy, here we go. Vax IDs, you know, whatever else. That's not the case at all. He said that every hotel now is booked for 8 months. That people are literally five deep at every table waiting to play, to gamble. That they're literally coming in with suitcases load, and this was his term, suitcases loaded with cash to gamble. As I sat back on that, I said, wow, it's amazing, isn't it? Think about that for a minute. You're willing now to gamble your whole life, because that's really a representation of who we really are. This entire system, by the way, if you look at Reno and Las Vegas and all the gambling institutions, This entire system is modeled after what that is. It has always been a roulette table. It has always been a crapshoot. It has always been poker. The whole system is that. And it's set up to always, so that the house always wins. How does a casino always work? If you invent a way to count cards, they consider that illegal. If you can do it in your head, they see it as illegal, because you're supposed to somehow have faith in the randomness of things, that it will come to your favor, which everything is set up to win to the house. And yet people are there now to gamble money and win big. The question it would be interesting to ask, which no one could answer, is how many of them took the injection and gambled their life with a shot? The only win there is in life is one. It's with Christ. That's the win. And it's a big win. It's a win that says, I know you're not going to be perfect. It's a win that says that by God's rules, you're going to make a lot of sin in your life. But you don't need to go to a shrink. You don't need to go to a doctor. You don't need to go and put your faith in a politician. You don't need to put your faith in a pastor or preacher. You don't have to confess your sins to a priest. It says one thing. Trust in me. Have faith in me. Follow the rules I gave you. Live this way. Walk with me in your heart. All will be forgiven. Humble yourself before God and live by the simple rules that God puts before us. Love thy neighbor as you want to be loved. Help those in need. Give voice to the innocent. And above all, live without fear. And trust in God. Through me to the Father, as Christ says. Through Christ to the Father. Everything else falls away. But when you step away from that, you step onto this superhighway of insanity. And this superhighway of insanity out here has you running this way and that and panicking over this and amassing fears. And with that, preparing for this doomsday end, for something that you can't control anyway. 2 Corinthians 9:6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Our definition of being a man in this world is anymore. I'm hesitating because I don't even really know what our definition of being a man anymore is. We've got one definition of being a man, which means you have to be super buffed in a weight room. And you have another definition of being a man, that you need to be skinny jeans and soy boy. And effeminate would be the term, sensitive. The two extremes, one is ego-driven, one's going to be egocentric, and one's going to be this fake, like, I'm going to be sensitive. It's nonsense. It's weakness. And the center line of being that person who walks that line as a leader in the community that puts God first and can simply follow that rule to being someone who sows bountifully. Sowing bountifully. That's a definition of being a great leader in a community. Of being a powerful community leader. Of being a powerful leader in your family. And men don't like to be called out for it. They always get defensive. Because the concept of being a man in leadership is based on some form of idolatry. I want to be like this person. So much of being a man in this world is how many guns you possess. So much of being a man is how much noise you can make. But what we haven't seen is that solid, powerful leadership in a place where sowing bountifully defines what leadership in men is in this world and in this country. There's no ego involved in that. There's no recognition involved in that. And there's a powerful line as well with that, that when you lead, people listen. It's not somebody who wears a new t-shirt saying what they are. Don't have to proclaim a lot of things. And I go back to that walk of Christ. And so let me give you an example. Let me ask you, it's just a rhetorical question. If Christ was truly such a peaceful person, and he was, why was he such a threat? Why was Christ able to upend an entire world by walking peacefully and speaking truth? And there is right in the most powerful line to walk in leadership, sowing bountifully. Because as we sow bountifully, God gives us more to sow. But it all relies on us letting go of who we think we are and becoming greater than we could ever be. And that happens because we let go and put ourselves into God. Imagine if a million men in this country had gone into their communities 18 months ago and simply spoke the truth and sowed the truth bountifully and made it very clear that there were certain lines that could not be crossed from a faith perspective in our communities. They would not be crossed under any circumstances. And they spoke that boldness. And had they been that bold, we wouldn't be where we are. There's so much of this still going on as far as looking at the agents of the, quote, crime. What's your governor's going to do? What your city council's going to do? What your county commissions are going to do? When did they become the overlords of the way we live? And they became that way because we let them. When did the corporations dictate to us how we had to behave? They got that way because we let them. And in that process, who was supposed to stand up in the community to lead the community back to that moral center point to say, no? And I'm going to say it openly. It should have been the men. Where are the voices? No one in there said you had to take up your arms to go charging into the public square. Where were the strong men to stand in there and say, just is a solid position? No. What's the timidness to stepping into the public and saying, no, I'm not telling you no men did it. Be clear. I'm talking about the mass of men in our nation. What has happened? And I would challenge every person to explain why they took the shot. For every man in particular, why did you take the shot if you did? Some I know absolutely had zero choice. And we've talked about this. There's a point where there was hard decisions to make. Some of those were work-related. But again, those were decisions and lines that had to be drawn to make the decision of what you wanted to do. It was a responsibility to research this. It was a responsibility to get to know what you were facing. It wasn't just an automatic motion. The accountability falls on each person that made the decision, and the accountability could be very devastating in the end. But we lack leadership, male leadership, in this country right now, horrifically. I know there's quiet circles talking about things and doing things quietly, planning, calculating, that's fine. But it doesn't take away the responsibility to be forward on this, because people need leaders. And they need to be forward-leaning in that leadership in the moral way that God would expect. It's, again, it's being able to speak truth. We've seen some amazing examples of truth speakers, but we've seen just a few, not many. And the responsibility in this culture is not to shuck it aside, not to go bury yourself in your gun room. The responsibility is to be able to step forward, because what's at stake is the entire society. This wasn't just another shot. This wasn't just another election. This was a coup, not just against us, against all of humanity, and it is deep. And it's treacherous. And the more that's learned about how bad this is, it's bad. This was a willful and has been a willful attempt to force humanity into a transhuman progression. And some of what has happened to the knowledge that we have cannot be undone. We hope that it can be. We pray that it can be. And we always have this thing, well, God can heal everything. Yes, he can. But the question is, will he? Because there's been a big stepping away from God. In this walk that we have, we were put here for a reason. On this earth, we live for a reason. And in part of that is to embrace this walk forward, to expand his kingdom, and to embrace Christ in our heart. Christ is in everybody's heart. All we have to do is accept it. The gifts that God gave are in everybody. All we have to do is accept them. And there's a structure to how leadership and family was intended to work in God's world. There was a reason men were put at the head. It has nothing to do with the brainwashing of male whiteness or chauvinism or female empowerment. That's just all whatever. It's all the games that are played to keep us divided, to keep people biting at each other, and to destroy the family and destroy the networks of and the perfection that God created. But it's a disturbing place where we sit that we have such little male leadership. You know, I've said many times, we're blessed to have the strength of the women's leadership in this time. We really are. But that does not mean that it gives men an excuse. And as women stand up and do more, it also doesn't mean that men get to be pushed aside either by women. There's an order of things that needs to be put here. And there needs to be empowerment and encouragement of men. And part of it is to understand what that path is again. One of the most powerful places you will ever be is calm in the face of a threat. To be relaxed in the face of death. To understand that there is no fear in life. And to lead, when you lead with that, when you lead with that sort of power in your heart, which that power comes from putting Christ deep in your heart. It's a calming place to be, to walk right in there. It doesn't mean you don't have passion about things. But the clarity of path that sets before you, there's no influences that take you off the path because you simply accepted a couple of things. One, you've accepted Christ in your heart through Christ to the Father. You've accepted truth as the way you walk, unwaveringly. There's no compromise on truth. You've accepted that you were born and that you will die. And those are given beginning points and an unknown end, but there's a given time that only God knows, and you need to make benefit of every bit of it. And then with that place, as you walk with truth so bountifully, when men take that position powerfully in society, they will become the power and strength of leadership again. There's no wavering with truth. There's no need to even argue truth. This is, we love this. The left loves to do this. Well, I'm not sure that means that. I don't know if you saw the headline. It was fantastic. CDC's reports of children hospitalization after the shot are contested by a doctor. Really? He says that it's not as bad as it seems. Okay. Was there one in the hospital because of the shot? That's enough. Done right there. That's bad. So that this doc is now defending this as if it, well, it's okay because we didn't have quite as many in the hospital as it said, so don't worry about it. It's over-exaggerated. There should be 10 men at his door tomorrow morning. There should be 100 men at his door tomorrow morning asking him to please explain that, why their children would be okay to have any of them in the hospital. We have to get back to that responsibility to the community, the family and the community. Men are the protectors. Men are the warriors. And women, don't get all upset about that. If you're feeling like you're bent, you're being left out, doesn't mean you're not fighting, but we need the strength of men on the front. I mean, look at the simple structure, and it's so basic, it's just unbelievable how distorted it's gotten. And I've mentioned this before, this is not new. Women now, pregnant, apparently can go on the front lines of war with the Marine Corps, and they celebrate this as a good thing. And I just look at this and I say, man, what insanity we have arrived at. She who bears children, every other animal species in the world understands that the female that bears children also needs protection. And that there has to be a mighty protector in the area. You know, I love watching lions because there's such an amazing balance there in the pride. There is the head of the pride. It is the king lion. He's the dude. And he oversees how things go. And he protects what is his, and he protects his domain. And as he's doing that, if he starts to come under attack, what happens next? Man, look out, because the lionesses are coming too. And then it's like, okay, you want game on. Here it comes. That's sort of, we have the women ready to do that. That's not a problem. We're just looking for the lions. We're looking for the lions. And we need the lions. We need that strength. And you know, it isn't that the male lion goes out and he's like trying to pick a fight. He's not doing that. He's got that calm force. That force majeure, as the French would say. He's like, he is a presence there. Because people know if they see him, he's like, okay. He's not looking for a fight unless I pick one, and then he's going to finish it. It's a very balanced place to be. To walk in that place, to be calm, to know where you're at, not to give some nonsense hyperbole about threats and saber rattling. That's just ridiculous. You have to go back to the old principle of carrying a sword. If you draw the sword, it only goes back in the sheath with blood. And when you live like that, then you understand that you don't have to say a lot. You just have to speak truth. Because when you wield the sword of God and the sword of the Spirit, it's the hammer. We need the strength in men again. And we need the strength of men in our communities. And I'm not really sure where it all went. I know in my grandfather's time, leadership in communities wasn't loud. It was just truthful driven. And there was respect for those that could walk that path. It wasn't about whether you lived in a castle or whether you lived in a shack. It was about that line that you walked of integrity and truth. And when you did, you spoke a language. And people understood it. And there were social codes that people followed that were helped reinforce that. Something as simple, like my great-grandfather, Kelly Kesterson, it was a known thing that if he saw a woman entering a store, if he was in the town, if he saw somebody, a woman walking, was going to enter a store, he would stop and open the door. Something little like that is a big thing. It's an understanding of roles. It's being humble. It's being strong. It's being within the community that you know that you're in. It's a world that this Luciferian left is trying to completely destroy. And in so doing, they've left this thing in topsy-turvy. And I argue, whether I'm right or not, because women have the responsibility of nurturing the home, they're going to take on whatever responsibility they have, whether the men step up, because they have to. They have to take care of that one responsibility that they have, the children, period. And somehow that connection is lost with many men. We are in a time right now that male leadership is going to be more important than ever. I don't know where we're headed. I can know what the numbers are saying, meaning the projections of consequences of this injection. I think people are having a hard time coming to grips with how devastating this can be. We have a lot of crazy theories rolling around here. I think people are still fantasizing that it's going to be okay. They did something secret in secret. It's really not what we think it is. Bears data today is almost at 6,000 deaths at 1% reporting. And there's so many things happening as we dig into what was actually injected. it's lining up. There's testimony now coming out with scientists saying, well, we didn't know that it was going to, the mRNA was going to do this. We didn't know that the nanotech would do this. Why? Because they didn't run any tests. They just used the human population as a bunch of guinea pigs. So you can expect a pretty profound impact as we head into the fall. But this is time for men to reclaim that position of leadership and get grounded again in what their purpose is. The purpose isn't getting onto a new truck and in debt. The purpose isn't buying new hunting gear so you can go out and hunt because suddenly you just got your injection or the mask policy dropped. This is now time for men to get strong in their moral leadership and begin to sow deeply within the communities, to show themselves, to be present, to draw the line. And it has to be heard. To all of those that are doing this, hat tip and God bless you. Let us all come together as the strength of men that are, and let us lead the many that aren't. But we need it more than ever, because we cannot go through this society and continue to accept that women are going to carry a burden for a fight that's going to take all of us. Let's go back to the lion pride again. We need the balance of as God intended, the respectful relationship between men and women, the men on the point. But when we all have to throw down, we're all going to be there together. But we still have to have the women nurturing the children. It has to be. No one else can do it like the mother. And we need the role models of men in our community to lead the youth, to show them what needs to happen. So we have to reestablish balance and respect. Men have to stand up strong. And if standing up strong means you're going to stand out there with your AR-15 strapped across your chest, there's a few steps you've missed, just letting you know. Good on you for being trying to be a hero, but let's get down to business. What you need to be able to do is to walk into a community. You need to be able to speak truth as men. You need to be able to guide youth, put youth in its place when it gets out of line by the power of faith and the word of God. And they need to be reset as the communities need to be reset with the power of men sowing bountifully. And as we sow, God will provide all that's needed to sow more. Sowing isn't just wealth in money. Sowing is deep. It's also sowing spiritually. And we need that leadership. We need the men to come into this place to walk as Christ would walk, to be that force in a community that shakes the soul of the community because every step is grounded in truth and the trust in God. And when you walk that way with confidence, not looking for guidance or the pastor to lead, but doing so as a man in a community, the force of change begins. And we begin to reset this country. We begin to reset this world as is intended. And we have to. Because without this, we're going to continue to meander, bump into walls, and probably end up right back where we were. It's time for the men to rise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We come together. We thank you for the blessings you give each and every one of us. We pray for men to rise. We pray for men to awaken within the power of your spirit and power of all that you give us. Not to reach for the sword of steel, but to reach for the sword of the spirit. to walk powerfully within our communities, to sow bountifully within all that you give, your word, the blessings of Christ, and to lead in our communities as spiritual and moral leaders, walking on that foundation of truth. Let us see the men step into that place. Let us see the men rise. Let us see the men grab the courage that sits within their hearts that has gone dormant. Let them realize the power of walking with empty hand, but a heart full of the power and love of Christ and the strength of all that you provide. Let us realize what it is to be true spiritual warriors within our communities. And as we do, let us see the strength of the family rise. And let us see again the balance and respect that was intended between man and woman in each of our households, our families, and our communities as a whole. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. It sometimes seems unfair and maybe unbalanced to target one group like men. But it has to be said. And it has to be pointed out. And it's not a point of trying to make anybody feel bad or get your back up. So if you're listening and you're a man and you feel like your back's up, take a breath. Because if you've gotten to that point, then you're defensive over something you might want to reflect on. Leadership is needed right now more than ever. And it's leadership in a way that's the hardest type of leadership. It's the leadership to engage. It's the leadership to sow bountifully. It's the leadership to be the moral foundation within your community. It's the leadership to be fearless and step into the arenas where the noise and the confusion reign and be able to be that voice that cuts through the wisdom of God speaking off into the crowd, coming through you as you lay the words down and as a man speak truth. Our families need it. Our communities need it. The women in our nation need it. And so it is time to see this. So it's not about picking on anybody. It's about pointing out the obvious. There's been way too much passivity from the men in this nation. Way too much dormancy of men in our nation. Way too much lack of leadership of men in our nation. And whatever you need to do to get there, buckle up. Because we need it, the nation is going to rely on it, and unless we have it, we aren't going to survive this. We now need that backbone to stand with the women who are on the front line, and we need to let them take a step back to ensure that the children are protected and ensure that the men are standing up and drawing that hard line to say no more, period. And that is where we are. And that's the call that now has to go out across our nation and the challenge that has to be put to every man in this country and in this world. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. Prayers are strength. They build the relationship and bond that we need deeply with Christ and God. This fight is unlike any fight we've ever seen. It's a fight that's coming at us from so many different angles. All of the things we trusted are turning on its head. And right now, we need men to step into that place to be as God intended. God is with us, each and every one of us, and God is with men if they'll step into that spiritual leadership spot. I don't think it's a stretch for me to say God's probably waiting. And yes, as always, God always wins. But I would imagine it's a heck of a lot easier if men are doing their job. So have a blessed night. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern for Peace Be Still. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Thank you. Good night. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose, reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fit together flawlessly. Sets down over the hill where the lost got found, reaching through somehow. Oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. Safe place to hide from the rain.